I'm so glad to see you all this morning. I feel like I'm home, and I really enjoy being here at Spokane Baptist Church, one of my favorite churches in all of America to be in. And pray for me tonight. I'll be over at Faith Baptist preaching and filling in the pulpit. And so, but I'm glad that it was able to work out to be here. I brought some new books with me over there. You'll see some books. Of course, I have my CD, Wonderful Grace, and pray for me that I'm going to come out with a new one soon. And so I just have to figure out the time where I can have enough time to sit down and stop at a recording studio that my friend has in Oklahoma City and put down another CD. And so those are over there for $10. And then I brought some, with Easter coming back, I brought you some kind of track pamphlets, What's Behind Your Light. Some of you have passed these out and have bought these in the past. And just a really good, incredible story about an elder lady that comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful testimony. And Brother Wilkins wrote this and gives the testimony of a woman that he was witnessing to. And he asked her about eternity. And she said, oh, it's just a big, beautiful sunset, you know, like this one outside my door here. And so he said, well, would you come to the service tonight? And he preached on heaven and hell and eternity and what's behind, what comes after we die. And so there are a lot of verses about heaven and hell in this pamphlet. And so it's a wonderful booklet to send out to people and a testimony, and it kind of helps them identify, hey, I need to be saved as well. So those are there for $2.50. And then this, with Easter coming up, this is called The Drama at the Cross, and it's just the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross and preached in a powerful sermon. And so this is $2.50, and you can get both of these for $5. And then this would be good with the revival that's coming up. This book has been a tremendous blessing to me. It's called Prayer for Revival. And it's with a subtitle, a textbook on prayer, fasting, and revival. And this is just a great book that kind of covers everything to do with revival, revivals in America in the past, and how to see revival again. But here are some of the chapters. Introduction, what is prayer? And chapter 2, what a good prayer posture, the prayer closet of God's champions. Chapter 3, the impact of prayer on history. It is natural to pray. The impact of prayer on ministry. Prayerlessness, its sin and consequence. Prayer with authority and potency. Closet prayer. Prayer and fasting part 1. Prayer and fasting part 2. Prayer in the will of God. Power through prayer part 1 and power through prayer part 2. So this is an amazing book. It's over there for $25. And I'll tell you one thing. Everywhere I go around the country, I bring this book with me and read it from time to time and keep refreshing myself on revival and keeping myself close to God and reminding myself that prayer works and changes things and can make a big difference. And that Christian can intercede. And the man that wrote this, Dr. Benny Beckham, is a good great preacher, and a man that he's in, I believe, 51 revivals out of the year, and preaches all over the country. And he preaches on prayer, and really got started in a prayer ministry when his wife passed away. His wife passed away, and he was discouraged about that and in distress. And he spent a few days with God. And God just put on his heart, hey, I want you to see things happen, and I want you to see lives change through prayer. And so he started a journey on a ministry of prayer. And so these are over there for $25. I would encourage you to pick one of those up and add it to your library. And it's important to get good books, and it's not easy to find good books today. And so those are over there. So go ahead and stop by the table over there and look at those. And turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke in chapter number 5. Luke in chapter number 5. And seeing the results of missions and seeing the results of people sacrificing over there in the Philippines. And it's amazing to me, if you study revival and you study the gospel, it seems to have always moved westward, and you see it moving across Europe and over here in England and over here in America. Now it's in Asia in a really big way, and talk about some amazing churches in Korea, and even in China now they're seeing less persecution. persecution. In fact, one man I was talking to over there said that some of his Christians were starting to grow cold because they didn't have any persecution and it's become more open. And so he said, I'm praying that God would bring more persecution so we'd see the things we saw in the 80s over there in China with the secret house churches that just number in the millions, I guess, with the secret house churches that are all over China. And I believe that, and I'm praying that God would bring the gospel back to the Arab world through these Filipinos. They've started some churches already, and they're seeing Muslims reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I believe that it's going to go right back to Jerusalem. In fact, we know it will. And during the tribulation, that many of the Jews will be saved. And so, but I think it's on its way back there right now. But there, out there today, there's a great harvest to be had. When I think about it, Pastor, I think about, you know, the 3,000 people saved there, and that church saw over 10,000 decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ in the month of February. But when I think about that and I compare it to the world, 7 billion people, and I think about, oh, we have such a big job. And we do. We have a big job out there today, but God has a plan for us to fulfill that job and to accomplish His will. And I think about those 3,000 people being saved, and I realize, hey, it's not even a drop in the bucket that is the world and 7 billion people that are out there today. And so let's look at our Bible here in Luke chapter number 5, and we find a plan that the Lord Jesus Christ showed His disciples before they even started working for Him. He showed them, hey, here is how you're going to accomplish my great plan. And so look at Luke in chapter number 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Look at verse 3. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and He prayed him that he would thrust out a little more from the land. And He sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before You, and I thank You for this church, God. I thank You for the people that have been added to this church, and I thank You for the people that have been saved at this church, and for the amazing testimony that it is here in Spokane, Lord, that Your gospel still works, and that Your word still works. And I thank You for Pastor, I thank You for his wife, and I thank You for them and the blessing that they've been to me. And I pray that they would have a great and mighty revival starting next Sunday, Lord. But I pray that You'd be with us today. God, certainly You have a plan. And Lord, we as Your people and as Your church ought to be concerned with that plan. And so I pray that You would be with me for the next few moments, empty me of self and pride and anything, Lord, that would hinder the message being preached today, and fill me with the Holy Spirit, for I am Your vessel, God, and a vessel is only as good as what it's filled with. So use me today indeed, and go throughout the crowd this morning and convict us in whatever area or way You want to convict us, Lord. And I pray that You'd be with me for the next few moments, in Jesus' precious, wonderful name, amen. So God's plan to reach the world. God has, and praise God, He has a plan, because this is a task that's much bigger than me, or and much bigger than you, and much bigger than this church. And it seems like it's an almost impossible task. And I was reading a quote the other day, how heaven must laugh when the word impossible is mentioned, because with God nothing is impossible. But God has a plan, and that's what we care about. And I hope, and I know that's what you care about here at Spokane Baptist Church. And it's not my plan, and it's not your plan, but it's God's plan. And it needs to be God's plan, and we need to do it God's way, because we know that God will never fail. And if we'll do His plan and work His plan, then we know that we cannot fail at this work, because we're doing it God's way, and and that's what we should be concerned with. And so this is God's plan to reach not only the world, but Spokane. And it can be applied, certainly, and it needs to be applied to Spokane and to Spokane Valley and to Washington and to Idaho and this area and to America and to the othermost parts of the world. But here He is with the disciples, and He's going to teach them and give them kind of a little insight on what their future job is going to be. And He tells them there in verse number 10, the latter part, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And He's teaching them that they're one day going to, that their job, well, from that day forward, their job was to no longer be fishers for fish, but fishers of men. And that's our job. Our job hasn't changed. We have the same job today, that we should catch men. And that's every Christian's job. Every follower of Jesus Christ is to be involved some way, somehow, in catching men. And so, I ask you the question, what is God's plan to reach the people of Spokane? How is He going to do this? And the answer to that question this morning is you. You're God's plan. Oh, praise the Lord. And I think about that from time to time. Listen, I'm God's plan. You're God's plan. God uses people. And he used these disciples, and boy, these disciples are some funny guys. If you study out their lives, you know, they're just good old folks, just like you and I. They're fishermen. They're just simple, humble fishermen. And this isn't the first time that Jesus has encountered them fishing. In fact, Simon Peter has already spent some time with Jesus. And in the previous chapter, he healed Peter's mother-in-law, which Peter doesn't say whether he was in agreement with that or not. But Jesus did it nonetheless. Amen. But he healed his mother-in-law. And Peter's already kind of spent some time with them, but I don't believe he's really sold out yet. But Jesus does this miracle here, and He teaches them that, hey, one of these days you're going to be involved in bringing in a great harvest. And out there today, Christian, I have to tell you, there's a great harvest to be had. And with those 7 billion people, you think about all the people in the Middle East and in Asia and Mexico and even here in America. There's a great harvest. And the Bible says that the field is wide unto harvest. And there's a great harvest to be had. There are people I know that still need to be saved, and that are ready to be saved if they just simply had a witness here in Spokane. And I love the verse that God says to the Apostle Paul, "I have much people in this town." And so, in other words, the Lord had much people that were ready for the Apostle Paul to just go and preach the gospel to them. And it's the same here today. But God's plan to reach Spokane is you. It's Spokane Baptist Church. It's your witness, and He has you in your job. He has you at your workplace. He has you here at this church and in your community, and you are His plan, and I am His plan. And so how is he going to work this out? Well, I want you to notice a few things here in this passage of Scripture. But God wants to use us, and we should be concerned with God's plan. Now, Jesus in this passage, He's God, right? So He could have walked up there to the seashore and say, "Okay, all you fish, out of the ocean and onto the dinner plate." And all the fish would have had to come out and, you know, be right there. And God could do the same thing today. And, hey, all you people that are going to be saved, all you people He could tell the whole world, hey, be saved. But God doesn't operate that way. And He wants to use you and I. He could have just said, "Okay, Simon, you know, I don't really need you. And I'm just going to take your boat and I'm going to fish myself." But He doesn't do it that way. He wants to use people, and he wanted to use the disciples that day. So he wants to use us. And you're his plan. And so without you, his plan is not fulfilled. Do you realize that? He wants to use you. Now, he doesn't need to use you, but he wants to. And we should be thrilled at that. I know I am every day. And then I get up and I think, God, are you sure you want to use me today? You know, why don't you use somebody else? But no, he wants to use me and he wants to use you. So what does he want to use in our lives? Let's look at this passage. In verse 3, it says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was called Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little more from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. First of all, this morning, God wants to use your faith. Your faith. And it's going to take faith to accomplish the work of God. But here, we have to put ourselves in Simon Peter's shoes. Here he is. He's been fishing all night long. I mean, to no avail. He has caught nothing. And he's a professional fisherman. And this is his livelihood. This is his job. And he can't even perform this right. Think about how discouraged you would be as a fisherman. And, you know, there he is washing his nets. He's cleaning out the nets. They've been in the ocean. They're dirty. He's cleaned his boat out. He's prepared. He's tired. He's weary. And all these things. He has to go home and tell that mother-in-law who's now healed and tell that wife, hey, I don't have any fish. I don't make anything today. So he's discouraged. He's depressed. And here this Jesus Christ has the gall to say, let's go fish again. You know, and for Simon Peter to do this, he's going to have some faith. And for you and I to be used of God at our workplace and out on visitation and inviting, we're going to have some faith. It takes faith. And I'll tell you, I don't always like to go out door knocking and telling people about Jesus, but sometimes I complain about it. Oh God, I'm tired today, or this or that, you know. But I have to have that simple faith that somewhere out there, God has somebody that's ready to hear the gospel. The Bible says God plants and water, we plant, some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. God has somebody out there ready and willing, and I just need to find that person and pull them in just like you'd pull in a fish. But he wants to use your faith. And so look at verse 5. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So Simon, just like you and I, did a little complaining, did a little belly aching. And there's something you don't know, Jesus. We've tried this time and time again, and it hasn't worked. But look at his attitude. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. And that's all you and I have to do is, in simple faith, you hear the preaching about telling others about Jesus Christ, and hear the preaching about giving out the gospel and sharing and giving out tracts and inviting people to Roundup Sunday that's coming back and this and that. And you know, we say, well, I've done that before and it didn't work. Or we say, you know, and we make up excuses, and that's what we're human. That's what we do. But we sometimes, you know, we make up excuses. And I do the same thing. Sometimes I go into revival and think, oh God, I'm too tired, or this or that. I don't want to travel. I don't want to get on the plane and go there and preach, or this or that. But our attitude should be, whether we complain or whatever it may be, our attitude should be, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'll keep doing it, God. I'll keep giving out the gospel. And that's where faith comes in. Faith that, hey, there's going to be a harvest as long as we keep following God, as long as we keep doing it God's way. I'm telling you, it will not fail. There will be a harvest here in Spokane. And so God wants to use you, and He wants to use your faith. Your faith. And we, like Simon Peter, listen, even if his boat was clean, it was there at the shore, he got it, you know, he'd had a terrible night fishing, and Jesus says, launch out into the deep. And our attitude has to be, along with Peter, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. God wants to use your faith. And that's how He's going to reach Spokane for Him. That's how He's going to reach the Philippines and the world. And He's going to reach the world through faith. Christians that will just say, okay, Jesus, You said it, I'll go do it. And it's not easy, and we don't understand it. And just like Peter didn't understand what Jesus was doing here, but his attitude, and that's what made Peter a great man, is many times he just said, okay, God, I'll do it. He wasn't perfect. He made a lot of mistakes, but he just said, okay, I'll do it. So God's plan for reaching Spokane is you. And He's going to use your faith. Number two, He's going to use of your substance. Isn't it interesting here? Look at what it says in verse 4. It says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down, look at this, your nets for a draught. He was going to use Simon Peter's nets and Simon Peter's boat and Simon Peter's faith. And so, I don't know why God wants to do it this way. You know, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but He wants to use my car. My vehicle for His honor and glory. He wants to use my giving and my faith, my giving, faith promise giving and missions giving. He wants to use my my finances and my everything I have. God wants to use it, and so He wants to use of your substance and to reach the Spokane. And so I ask you, where are you at on your tithing? Where are you at above and beyond the tithe? You know what New Testament tithing is? Here it is, God, it's all there. When you study out, they cast all at the disciples' feet, and everything the New Testament church had belonged to God. And I wonder if He has everything of yours today. That's what He wants to use. Now He could use somebody else, but we should be humbled that, hey, He wants to use us. And He wants to use of your faith, and He wants to use your substance, the things that you have. Do they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what he does here. You know, Jesus could have, He was a carpenter, could have made His own boat, could have spoke one into existence if He wanted to. But hey, He says, Simon, there's a harvest. Simon Peter, there's a harvest out there, and we're going to bring in this harvest. And guess whose ship we're going to use? Guess whose nets we're going to use? I don't know, Lord, yours. And that's how God wants to get this work done. That's how God wants to reach the world with the gospel, through your giving and through the things that you have. And I praise the Lord for good Christians that when they find out, hey, someone needs a ride to church, they'll go out and pick them up. Or they find out, hey, we need to bring a group out for soul winning, or we need to use my vehicle for this, and they'll use that. Or they say, hey, we need to have a function, so they let the church use their jacuzzi to baptize. Amen. and things along those lines. But God wants to use our substance. And I ask you today, does it belong to God? The things that you have and the things that you own. It's amazing how selfish us Christian Americans can become with our things. And, oh, I don't want to use it or for the Lord or for this or for that. But He wants to use of your substance. I ask you, are you giving towards this cause? And that's just something for us to examine. He wants to use your faith. He wants to use your substance. Thirdly today, He wants to use your labor. Your labor. Do you realize today that not only do we have to have faith, not only that we have to do we have to give, but we have to get out there and work. We have to get out there and fish. And He says He says, I want to use your nets and cast out your nets for a draught. And Simon Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it. We haven't caught anything, but we're going to do it. In verse 6, and when they had this done, then closed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. That's how He's going to bring in the harvest. You know, He's not going to just, you know, praise the Lord, you have visitors here and that come, you know, they'll see the church sign or they'll see the website or something along those lines. But I'm telling you, for God's plan to be fulfilled and for His work to be done here in Spokane, it's going to take some good old-fashioned work. I was just with this man was a great testimony to me, but I was just with a man in Delano, California. It's a town that had a few Baptist churches in it, but they all went down, and it's a farming community north of Bakersfield, and just fruit trees everywhere and all of that. And a guy I went to Bible college, in fact, he's a Filipino, but he was born here in the United States. And we went to Bible college together, and he was saved out of a life of drugs and a life of being a gang member. In fact, he has these tattoos, and he was praying and asking God, God, could you help me get these tattoos removed? Because it's like $20,000 or something to have these things removed. And he got convicted because some of his people in his youth group started asking him about tattoos. They said, well, we heard you had some, pastor, you know, when it was before. He said, yeah, but I wouldn't have got him or this or that. But he just got convicted, and God has, certain people have called him and said, hey, we'll help pay for the removal of those tattoos. But anyhow, Carlos Serrano is his name, and he started a church in Delano, California about 3 years ago. And I mean, just a rough town, just drug addicts and full of Catholicism with the Hispanic community that's there. And I'm telling you, that man has just seen an amazing thing there. He had his first anniversary at 130 people and here in America. And he averages over 70 every Sunday, and none of them are transferred members. He has had to lead them all to the Lord, out door knocking, out soul winning, and disciple each and every one of them. I'm talking about people that bring him crack pipes, and he says, hey, let's smash this thing up. And people that bring him their idols, their Mary idols, and they smash them up and grind them into powder, just like the Bible says, amen. But all the things like that, and you say, what's a successful every day? He wakes up about 5 o'clock and he prays and he studies for his sermon. And then about 9 o'clock, he goes out to this lake and he took me out there and he said, I'm reaching my town from 3 miles out. And I said, what do you mean? Well, it's 3 miles out. He's praying. He has a list of prospects and he prays for them every morning. And then he goes and visits them. In fact, when I was there, he has a woman that he's been witnessing for 2 years. Her name is Maria. And on that day, we just prayed for Maria and said, God, help her to get saved today. And we went and visited her, and she said, Pastor, I'm ready. And he led Maria to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that man is out there praying, and he's out there every day of the week knocking doors, and it's hard. And he said he even had someone point a gun at him one time and things like that. But nothing will substitute for God's people simply getting out there and doing the work. The witness has to be in this city. When we have church in here, that's fine, but there needs to be a time where the church goes out into the city and spreads the gospel. From door to door, publicly, the Bible says. That's what Paul did. He witnessed in people's houses and held Bible study in people's Bible studies in people's houses. But it's going to take your labor. Your labor. So number one, it's going to take your faith. And we have to have faith and just say, hey, Lord, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know how I can be a soul winner, how I can tell my coworkers about you. I don't know how it's going to work. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it. And we just have to do it with faith and keep doing it and continue doing it until we see a great harvest. It's going to take your faith. It's going to take your substance. He used Peter's ships and Peter's nets, and it's going to take your labor. Lastly, this morning, God never meant to do us to do this alone. Praise the Lord. It's going to take your partnerships. Look at verse 7. And so here they are, and they have this multitude of fishes in the end of verse 6, and their nets break. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets breaks, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and what? Help them. I praise God, we're not called to do this work alone. And a pastor should not be alone in the ministry and out there door knocking all by himself, but it's going to take... Now this is God's plan, this isn't my plan, but these disciples had to partner together to take this great harvest, this multitude of fishes. And I'm telling you, you as a church, you have to partner together, work together. Whatever you can do to help get the gospel out, partner up with this church. It's going to take your partnerships here in this church, but also your partnerships around the world. That's how we're going to do it. That's what you support these missionaries over here. You partner up with them, and that's how you see the gospel go all around the world, by partnering together. We can't do it alone, and we're not meant to do it alone. And so I'm telling you, if you'll use your faith, If you'll have faith and just say, okay, God, I'll do it. If you want me to witness, whoever you want me to witness to, God, I'll do it. And you, if you'll do that and you'll use of your substance and you say, oh God, everything that I have, it belongs to you and I want you to use it for your purpose and your honor and your glory. And then if you'll use of your substance and then you'll get out there and work every once in a while and you'll tell others about Jesus Christ and go on soul winning and go on visitation and those things, you'll use of your labor and then you'll partner up with others, the end result is astonishment. When Simon Peter saw it in verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Look at this. For he was astonished. And I'm telling you, if you'll do it God's way, one day you'll be able to look back and just say, wow, how did God do all that? There was a little group of people, Spokane Baptist Church. And you got to see some fruit there when almost 3,000 people were saved and just be astonished at what God. And that's all. I'm astonished, Pastor Josh, every day, just that the things that God is doing. And I'm astonished at this church, and that this church is a miracle. It's amazing what's happened. And to think of a church in Spokane that's still growing and going forward. That's a miracle, and God will continue to build this church, but He wants to do it through you. We all have to take responsibility for this. See, a lot of times we give the job to the pastor, or the pastors, or the men in the church that have a burden for souls, but God wants to use all of us, partnering up together to get the gospel out. And I'm telling you, not only can we get to see bits and pieces of it and be astonished here on this earth, but think about the day when we get to heaven, when we get to see just all those that were impacted by our church that we never even knew about. And all those around the world, the missionaries that you've supported that you never even knew about. I mean, it's incredible, but it's God's plan. We have a big job ahead of us. God has left it in your hands, in the church's hands, to reach the entire world. Wow. What a responsibility. What a job we have. And I'm telling you, if we'll do it God's way, in simple faith, submit to Him and say, okay, God, this is your plan, I'll do it your way. And then give of our substance, say, God, whatever I have is yours. And then labor and work for the Lord and partner up together. I'm telling you, the end result will be astonishment. We'll sit back and say, look at all the great things God has done. But we have to do it God's way. So I wonder if you're willing to submit to the Lord's plan. I'm wondering if you are willing to let God use you. It doesn't matter who you are. Look at these. Look at the Simon Peter and these fishermen. I mean, I'm sure their language probably wasn't the best. You know, if you've ever been around fishermen or sailors or anything like that. Or, you know, these were just simple guys. These were just everyday guys. And God said, listen, men, I want the world to hear the gospel, and I want to use you. And He says the same thing this morning to us. I want the world, I want Spokane to hear the gospel, and I want to use you. So I wonder if we wouldn't work God's plan this morning. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And if we could get some piano music. Let's have an invitation this morning and respond to the message as you would see fit. If God spoke to your heart this morning, I would ask you to either bow where you're at or come up to the altar here and have a time of prayer. And let's respond and say, okay, God, I'll let you use me. Maybe some of us this morning would just say, Lord, I don't know how or you're going to do it or what, but at thy word I will let down the nets. At thy word I'll give out the gospel. And so let's just have a time of invitation. And even before the piano music, if God's worked on your heart this morning, would you pray? Would you do business with God? Every head's bowed and every eye's closed.